Don't spook the listeners.
I think that if we were to say anything right now, it would spook the listeners because they're probably just so unfamiliar with our voices at this point in time.
In the weeks off, I have acquired this accent.
Wow, did you spend your 8 weeks off in Mumbai, or what's the deal?
I did, practically. Where Fantastic. Are you now, Dan?
Yeah, so, well, firstly, thank you for tuning in, and welcome back after our two-month hiatus, ladies and gentlemen.
Back to our podcast, where we put the fun in dysfunctional.
Wow, yeah. Welcome back to the DP. The DP is back. You know what? I mean, you asked me, so I'll respond. And I think we're going to be pretty rusty today, folks, and I apologize for that.
I don't.
Rusty is usually fun. Exactly. I'm back in North America now, Paul, so we're on the same continent again, although I think technically, geographically, we're actually further apart than we were when I was in Edinburgh.
Probably.
Yeah. If you look at it from a pure miles standpoint, I think that we...
Calgary to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Rough, Edinburgh, however you said it.
Yeah.
And Vancouver to Toronto.
Yeah.
I am currently in the center of the world.
Are you?
Yeah. Well.
Center of the universe. The center of the hockey universe. The center of the baseball universe.
I'm currently sitting in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's closed. I broke it.
Wow, that's impressive. I hope you're fondling the King Clancy trophy or the President's trophy.
Just the President's trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing in TO?
Living, you know, just living life.
That's good.
No,
that's
personal good. Training. What are you doing?
Well, I am doing a bunch of things. I mean, right now I'm trying to finish up my stuff for school back in Edinburgh. Mm. I'm trying to find a real big boy job now that I'm back out here. And actually, for the listeners, I was recently hired on for another new hockey correspondence job.
Whoa.
So you should be following. If you're not already following at Dan the Max, Dan the M-A-C-S on Twitter, you should be because now... I was recently hired on to do correspondence for the Colorado Avalanche for the thehockeywriters.com website.
That's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I'm pretty excited about that. So throughout the year, at least insofar as I'm covering the Avalanche and not more local teams, I will be posting updates on different Avs-related things.
How much booze Nathan MacKinnon drinks when he finally turns legal.
Exactly.
In Canada, though.
Yeah, just how many on-ice chirps Max Talbot does and all sorts of fun. Who actually plays on the Avalanche defense? Because I still don't really know.
How many times Jerome Iginla breaks his hip this year?
Yeah, exactly. So all sorts of fun Avalanche-related things. So follow me on Twitter if you're an Avs fan, even if you're not, because, you know, if you get me clicks, it just helps us all out. Helps us all out a lot.
We're looking at you, Corey Haas.
Exactly. Corey, wow. I'm looking at you, Paul's mom, but then again, I'm always looking at Paul's mom.
One per show.
Yeah, one exactly, per show. Exactly. Dude, we're just going to do this podcast this week because obviously the only thing really going on right now in the sports world is baseball, which is, you know, and tennis and golf. And that's fine by me, but really it's not enough, I don't think, for us to get like the consistent 3-day-a-week podcast thing going on. So probably... this week and next week, we're just going to do one cast. The following week, we may ratchet it up to two as we start with our NFL previews. And then the week prior to the NFL beginning, we will definitely start with our three-day-a-week podcast again, because that's when you can start talking about the NFL. You can start talking about baseball playoffs. You can start talking about training camp and preseason in hockey. And European football also starts in, I believe it starts, the season starts in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
That's when SportsCenter becomes bearable.
Exactly.
A couple of nights ago, they led with PK Subban's signing.
Yeah.
And then they went to the one CFL game.
Yeah.
And then to random tennis highlights.
Yeah, because that was probably the day of the baseball All-Star game or whatever. That is the slowest day for sports in the entire sports calendar. Because unless there's like Olympics going on, there's absolutely nothing to watch. Nothing.
Yeah, it's like the day after the All-Star game when no MLB teams are playing and just nothing's happening.
It's insanity.
It's depressing.
It's like a Tuesday. Yeah, it's like a Tuesday. So what are they going to put on?
It's the worst. It's the it worst. The, I feel bad for sportscasters. We have to do this once a week. We don't have to, but we do this once a week. They have to fill an hour every night. It's impossible. Well, let's move. Let's go. Let's just do it.
Let's launch in here. So in case you forgot the format, folks, we're just going to talk about random sports and kind of tie them into odd set predictions, generally utilizing Bet365 or Bodog because they're the most popular and the most user-friendly betting websites, and they're the ones that Paul and I use. Although you're free to use any betting website, we endorse neither party.
This show is sponsored by Bet365, not officially, but if I say it enough times, they'll probably stop me from saying that.
That's the hope. They'll send you an email because they
we don't actually sponsor your podcast.
Exactly, because they don't want our listeners from Australia and Ghana. And I know you're out there because we looked at the stats to start betting on sports.
What did we miss? We didn't miss. We just, you know, a couple things happened while we were taking our hiatus. The end of the World Cup, most notably. Which Germany won, and probably rightfully so, but all anyone can talk about is Brazil's absolute collapse, where they lost a touchdown to one to the Germans.
Yeah, well, I was watching that game in Nice in France. No big deal. That's not meant to be a name.
I was watching it from New York, so, you know.
Yeah, there you go. We were both watching it from unique places. And I remember sitting there with a bunch of French people who I was surprised were largely cheering for the Germans. And I remember, I mean, I was a few beers in, and I thought I was hallucinating when the Germans started throwing those ones in. I thought that the heat and the Cronenberg 60 and 64s had gotten to my head because, yeah, that game was one of the strangest things I have ever seen in all of sports, in all my years obsessively watching sports.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Germans were plying in those goals in the first half, I was stunned.
It was crazy. I was settling in for what happened in the final.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was surrounded by Brazilians. A Brazilian girl on my right and a Brazilian guy on my left at this bar. She was in tears by the 36th minute. Mm-hmm. He left.
Yeah, so, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I was cheering for Germany, mostly because I had money on them. But, did the right team win?
I think so. I think the Germans were the most consistent throughout the tournament, right? I mean, they didn't lose. I don't even think they went so far as to draw. I'm trying to think back to their group stage, and I think they just won every game.
Portugal, they beat USA by one, and they beat Ghana by one or two.
Yeah, so there you go. So they didn't even draw. They just won all their games. I mean, going into the tournament, folks, if you'll remember, and I'm sure you'll remember, I earmarked Germany as the team to beat in the World Cup, just like I earmarked the Kings as the team to beat in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm two for two. But they just had such a deep roster going in. And, I mean, in spite of suffering – what did they suffer? A few injuries? Yeah, in spite of suffering the Toni Kroos injury entering, I still thought that they had so much, especially up front. And you saw Müller and Klose becoming the highest scoring player in World Cup history. Müller winning. Well, he didn't win the Golden Boot. No, he didn't. James won it. But
James Rodriguez.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You saw just a full dominating performance from the Germans. Systems football, top to bottom. They have a stellar defense. They have an underrated midfield, and they have strong forwards.
Yeah. Talk about a surprise team in the tournament. How did the well, surprising in both ways, I guess you could call Brazil underachievers?
Yeah.
I mean, they were attacked by injuries at the end. Does that mean they rely on Neymar and Thiago Silva too much?
I think so. I mean, look, they weren't as good a team as Brazilian teams have been in the past. I feel bad for Brazilians and all the effort and everything they put into this tournament. And you can see kind of from that first game against Croatia that they weren't quite the favored team that people perhaps wanted them to be or were elevating them to be. You know, I think that when Neymar went down in advance of the Germany game, the only way that they're going to win that game is like in penalties. And that's not a way that Brazil wins a game. They don't have a strong enough defense. And then when your best defender goes out in Thiago Silva, I mean, it's going to be a disaster. But I was stunned at how poorly David Luiz and Marcelo and the guys who were left over on the Brazilian team played. Like, they were god awful in that game.
Yeah, I don't know. It must have been a mindset that, I mean, it wasn't even close, right?
No, it wasn't.
Talk about a surprising team positively. The Americans did, I think, as expected or better than expected in this tournament. What do you think?
I mean, I think they did as expected. They made it to the round of 16 and they were beaten by a superior Belgian team out of Group H. I think that it was nice to see, as it always is nice to see, American people jump on the bandwagon of soccer, but I don't really think that I would call them the surprise team. I would call Costa Rica the surprise team.
Well, Costa Rica, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they played boring as shit, and like they bored me to tears when I was watching their games. But, I mean, credit where credit's due, I guess. I mean, the only player of theirs I really knew was Joel Campbell, and they ended up getting to the quarterfinals, and they took the Dutch to PKs. So, yeah, it was...
I wanted them to make it to the semifinals. That would have been great. To see Brazil, Germany, Argentina, and Costa Rica.
Yeah, exactly. I know, me too. It would have been interesting to see them get through. I don't think there are really any other super surprise teams. People say that Colombia was a super surprising team, but they did exactly what I think people thought. They made the quarterfinals because they had an easy group, and then they had an easy draw in the second place coming over from Group B. Was it B?
D.
No, it was D. D, thank you. And you know, the emergence of James Rodriguez was probably the story of the tournament, and it net him an enormous contract from Real Madrid.
Yeah. Oh my
but
God.
I would say Costa Rica is a surprise team of the tournament. I mean, they were full value for getting where they got. There were a couple other teams. Like, I was really impressed with Belgium. They almost beat the Argentinians to get to the semis. But I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
I was mostly shocked at when things that should have happened and people expected to happen didn't happen. For example, Spain going out so quickly. People were saying Portugal was a surprise. I don't think they were as strong as people said, so I don't think them losing in the group stage was that surprising. Mm-hmm. I think Argentina making it to the finals was a little shocking to me. But I also think that, well, here's a question for you. Do you think that that was Argentina's chance at a World Cup?
These guys are still young. I mean, the core of their team, which I would probably look at, is guys like Messi and Aguero and Gonzalo Higuain, all, by the way, of which are offensive players. So these guys are still young enough that they'll be back in 2018 in Russia and they'll still be good. They do need to reform, in my opinion, their defense. I know that, you know, a lot of their key defenders, I'm thinking of a guy like Di Michaelis, for example, these are guys who are older and who probably aren't going to be back next time. And they did look good. They didn't allow a single goal in the knockout stage until Mario Götze scored that goal in extra time mm-hmm. for the Germans. But I don't know. I don't think that the Argentines have quite the youth movement, at least. And I know a fair bit about soccer. I don't see many Argentinian stars on the horizon like I see stars on the horizon for teams like Germany still. Italy, France is another example of a team with some stars on the horizon. Belgium. I'm just not quite so. Brazil as well will have some, you know that they'll have some kids coming up for 2018. But I'm not sure if I see that necessarily with the Argentines.
Yeah. Who was the bigger disappointment? This is kind of a buzzer beater question, but in terms of stars, Cristiano Ronaldo and his team getting knocked out in the group stage, or Lionel Messi not scoring any goals in the knockout stage,
and still getting the golden ball?
Yeah, that was unreal and stupid,
unbearable.
He scored goals against Iran, Bosnia, and Nigeria.
I believe, yeah,
yeah. And then didn't score goals against Switzerland, Belgium, Netherlands, and Germany.
Yeah, that just absolutely blew my mind. He wasn't even the best player on the Argentines. I would say that probably Javier Mascherano was the best player on the Argentines. But you know what? Messi, they wanted to give it to Messi because they wanted to kind of elevate the award. I don't know. I would say that he's the more disappointing one because Cristiano Ronaldo, I thought, did not play well in that first game when the Portuguese were sleepwalking. Yeah. I thought that in the game against the Americans, he was noticeable enough and he played pretty well considering his injury. I mean, that pass he made on that second goal,
that was
only he can make that pass.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And I didn't watch the game against Ghana, so I wouldn't know. But I would say Messi, if only because his team won almost in spite of him. Certainly in the game against the Dutch, the semifinal game, he was nowhere to be found. That was such a terrible game.
That was an awful game. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the game against Belgium, I don't think he did much either. The game against Switzerland, he was fine. But, yeah, he didn't do anything against the Germans, and so I would say Messi.
Yeah. I wish I could say how much I made or lost from the World Cup, but yeah. I kept cashing out my bets halfway through.
You just chickened out, hey?
Well, I didn't chicken. Okay, maybe. But there were times when I bet $1 on Thomas Mueller winning the golden ball or golden, whatever, top score.
Golden boot.
And Germany winning. Yeah. And so when it got to the semifinals, my $1 bet, which would have paid out at 101 had he won it, I cashed it out at $20. So I consider that a win. And then he didn't end up winning it. So
that is a win.
So then, but then I lost a whole lot. Like I bet Spain on everything, which didn't help. So yeah, I can't really tell how much I lost, but I think I probably ended up round even, or if not, then negative a little bit.
Yeah. Well, my big bets were, they pretty much came through. I mean, I bet Germany and Miroslav Klose to win the golden boot, which, I mean, he didn't win it, but I thought he was, considering he was a sub, I thought that he was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I made some correct bets in group stages. Like, what was my standout bet? Betting that the Greeks would get through from Group C along with Colombia. I know, right? They were terrible.
Well, killed me because they went through on the last minute goal over Bosnia.
Yeah, which they did.
Would have made my group betting correct.
Muffin. I think that we actually, in terms of our group betting, we pretty much got everything right with the exception of Algeria getting through from Group H. I don't think either of us expected. I said South Korea.
I said Russia. I actually bet Algeria to come last.
Yeah, there you go. The Americans getting through from that group, obviously neither of us thought. And I don't know if... I don't remember who I said for Group F in second. I don't believe I said Nigeria. I think I would have said Bosnia.
I remember I said Bosnia, and I don't know what you said. I don't remember. I know we both got Group E, France and Switzerland, right? Neither of us were close in Group D.
No, Group D, I said Italy, England, and I think you said Italy, Uruguay, I believe. Yeah.
And Italy out to Costa Rica. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was.
I missed a few by just a little bit, but that's the way it goes.
And, of course, Spain in that group.
That was just a travesty. Yeah.
We knew that Chile would be good, but, man, when they beat the Spanish in that game in Rio, that was just a stunner.
That was crazy. What else we missed? Well, as we recap, let's do this one quickly. We missed Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Djokovic takes the number one seed back overall in the world. And over, you know, he's just being dominant right now as he wins versus Roger Federer in the finals there. Federer a bit surprising to go through, but I think because Nadal lost so early in the tournament, that had something to do with it. More currently, Milos Raonic just won over Vasek Pospisil in Washington, which was cool, all-Canadian final for the first time ever. And Milos, who we shit on this show a lot.
Oh, all the time.
Is number six in the world. So yep. Joke's on us.
It is.
Holy
look,
crap.
He goes and wins the tournament, and in Wimbledon he makes the semifinals, right? Yeah. So, like, we're hard on this guy. I think it's because we have so much Eugenie love. But yeah. I don't understand why we can't love them both. It's like we need to pick one to love. That's just silly. Let's just love them both.
Love them both? All right, fine.
Love the one you're with.
Well, currently, as I'm in Toronto, the Rogers Cup is going on in Toronto.
It is, yeah.
Milos is nothing surprising has really happened. They're on day three. And the women are happening in Montreal. Otherwise, I would have gone. Trying to see Eugenie like everyone is trying to go see Eugenie. So I actually don't know. I know Andy Murray's there. I know Federer's there. I know Milos is there. And P.S. Jack Sock won the doubles title.
Jack Sock.
Holy crap.
Our favorite guy. Like the best, probably the second best American tennis player in the world right now. Him or John Isner, I don't know. But yeah, Jack Sock winning the doubles. I thought of you when I saw that. I was just so excited.
It was awesome.
So excited.
Djokovic is here. Amazing. So I'm thinking I'm going to try and go check out a match or two.
That'd be excellent.
See what tickets are like. Yeah. But we'll see how Eugenie and Milos and maybe even Pospisil will do at least at the Rogers Cup in preparation for the U.S. Open down in New York in the end of August? Usually in the end of August.
I think it's the end of August. It's shortly after the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
Because it winds up those sports major season and signifies the beginning of football.
Yes, beginning of football. Who's your team in football? Who's your NFL
Pardon
team?
Me?
Who's your NFL team?
Packers.
Ah, the Packers, that's right. Aaron Rodgers.
I know. So we're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk about hockey a little bit more in depth shortly because that's kind of what our listenership tunes in for, I think. And that's kind of what we know best. But, Paul, I would be remiss if I didn't discuss probably the biggest sports story of the month of July.
Jonas Cespedes' throw from left field to home plate.
That
the
was
the only highlight that anyone shows these days.
I know that thing was amazing. He's a spectacular player, and now he's a Red Sox. But that's not it, Paul. I thought to myself when I was coming home to Vancouver from where was I? I was coming home from Milan. I thought that I shared this kinship with this great man who also returned to his home of Northeast Ohio. This past summer, Northeast Ohio. Have you seen that Frank Caliendo, Morgan Freeman reading the?
It is fantastic.
I can't even when I'm watching that thing. I just can't even.
I wish I could do the Morgan Freeman voice. That would be the best.
A long time ago.
Well, sometimes I.
I was just a boy from Northeast Ohio.
Northeast Ohio. It's so good.
Oh, it is. But LeBron going back to Cleveland, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, it's funny because when we had Mike on here, he was convinced that LeBron was going to leave next year.
Yeah.
He said, without a doubt, LeBron's staying this year. And I was totally on board until it started taking so long.
Yeah.
And when it starts taking so long, I think he was always going to go back.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go back when it started taking so long. That's what I meant.
That's fair, yeah.
Because look at the team they have now. I mean, people saying they're going to trade for Kevin Love they're going to trade away Wiggins for Kevin Love. Even if they don't, that starting five of LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Irving and Wiggins slash Love. I mean, rivals, if not better, is Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Oh, yeah. It becomes like there are some other decent big threes in the league, like the old three in Brooklyn the big two on the Clippers, I guess, with Paul and Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
You got D-Wade and Bosh, which is whatever.
Bosh is going to be gone too now.
Yeah. And of course, you can't ignore the Spurs, right? I mean, they're big three. They just won the damn thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Cavs right now on Bet365 are the favorites to win the championship at 4.5.
Oh, really?
They are. They're the favorites at 4.5. The Spurs are at 5.
Wow.
The OKC Thunder are at 6.5. And the Heat, who have been the favorites outright for the past 4 years, are now wallowing in 7th at 17-1.
That's insane. I haven't looked. Let me see. To win outright. Holy crap.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
Raptors at 41. Heat at 17. The Heat have no chance. Why are they at 17? Where's Indiana?
That's the way basketball works. Is you can look at, you can say right now, next year, Paul, you and I can say right now, without a shadow of a doubt guarantee, I will say right now, that the champion in the NBA next year will be one of these top
three.
One of these top three. Yeah, I can't see the Bulls, the Clippers, or the Rockets making a press. It will be the Cavs, the Spurs, or the Thunder next year. I mean, do you see anyone as really standing a chance coming out of left field?
Well, I would have said the Pacers, but did you see that video?
Which video? Oh, yeah, with Paul George. Oh, that's so sad.
God.
Their odds must have really tanked after he got that injury because they're at 34 now, and I would imagine they would have been better odds prior to that.
They probably would have been top
three,
four?
Yeah.
At least four.
Yeah.
But Is when's Derrick Rose? Is he slated to come back? I don't know.
You know, I as a Bulls fan, I mean, I've kind of, I don't want to say given up on Derrick Rose, but like, I can't really envision him coming back and making any kind of an impact. I mean, they cut Carlos Boozer, right? So I'm trying to think to myself, you know, I would joke him, Noah, he had left knee surgery in the offseason. I'm trying to think of like who exactly they're going to, you know, put their eggs, what basket they're putting their eggs into if D-Rose isn't around. I mean, they made that pitch to Carmelo, right? I mean,
and that didn't work.
I don't know what's going to happen with.
Says Derrick Rose is back to 100%. He's doing basketball camps in Las Vegas and summer leagues and all that stuff. Bulls GM says we were lucky.
We got Pau Gasol.
Yeah. He'll come back and be 100%. That's what Gar Foreman, Bulls GM, says. So,
well, if he does, then he's a good player. And I mean, they've got you know, who else they got? They got shit. With Noah Hurt, who they got? I got Taj Gibson, who's a big guy, I guess, but he's not a starter. He's a good sixth man. God, they had their best player last year, probably was DJ Augustine off the bench, but he's a point guard, and like with Rose back, they have no use for him. So if Rose comes back and they got Pau Gasol, and then Joakim Noah could come back healthy, they'll be a respectable team, but putting them at fourth at odds right now is bizarre to me.
Yeah. Quickly, how about Canadian basketball?
Yeah, really excited. Really excited. I mean, this World Cup thing is coming up, and although, you know, Wiggins and who else isn't there? Wiggins isn't there, and I don't even know if we're in this World Cup thing. Are we in this World Cup thing?
I have no idea, man.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a World Cup.
As I say, Canadian basketball. I'm, you know, I just...
Yeah, regardless, though.
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett. Superstar Anthony Bennett. We forgot about him when we were mentioning the big three. I mean, he's a big boy.
Yeah. We'll see. But I think the he just needs a little confidence boost. That's what it looks like from someone who doesn't watch a heck of a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball.
Yeah.
But...
pressure will be off him now,
and LeBron will make other people around him better. So you never know.
Yeah, pressure's off Anthony Bennett now. He can live in the shadow of Wiggins and Kyrie and LeBron now. He doesn't need to worry about it. But it's gonna be really exciting to see when the next Olympics comes along. I really hope that we qualify because we have a seriously respectable starting five with Wiggins and Stauskas,
yeah,
and Tristan Thompson, Kelly Olynyk, Bennett. We have it's legit NBA players now.
As long as it's still coached by Jay Triano, I'm there, man.
Jay Triano, yeah, that's right. I know what you mean. I'm going to keep more of an eye on basketball this year than I did last year because I'm actually going to be on the continent.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Moving on.
Okay, we're going to start talking about hockey now. We're going to talk hockey, then we're going to talk baseball, then we're going to go to rapid fire. Well, how much time we got?
I'm just checking that. Trying to check right now. We've been going for 28 minutes.
All right, we got lots of time. We got 17 minutes.
My God, before we couldn't keep it under 45. Now we're just
like, we're struggling.
We gotta talk like this.
We're gonna do Morgan Freeman impressions for the whole friggin' balance of the podcast. Okay, let's talk hockey because that's what people listen for. We'll talk free agency. I know that we weren't covering when the Kings won the Cup. Congrats to the Kings winning the Cup. Seeing Dustin Brown skate around with that thing is still pretty nauseating. But kicking it off right now, looking back at free agency, I'm going to talk to you about the odds right now. 365 has the odds on long odds on the Stanley Cup. The favorites as the Chicago Blackhawks, the defending champion Kings at second favorites, and the Bruins as the third favorites. What do you think right now?
Makes sense. I think I would swap the Kings and Blackhawks. The Kings are just too deep.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost Willie Mitchell, but how much did he really help?
they can replace him.
Yeah, exactly. The odds look exactly like I would put them.
Yeah.
Other than I would switch the Kings and the Blackhawks, and then Bruins up there, Blues up there, Ducks up there, Pittsburgh I wouldn't maybe put at 11-1. And then... that's your top six.
And does this not speak to the parity in the NHL vis-a-vis certainly the NBA? Because I look at those top 12 teams that are all within 20-1 odds, and I look at all 12 of those teams, and I could conceivably make a case for any 12 of those teams, perhaps with the exception of the Minnesota Wild, to win the Stanley Cup this coming year. I would not have any qualms with any of those 12 teams. And then even a team that I look at that Bet365 has in 14th at odds in the Dallas Stars as a team that could win the Cup. What do you think?
That's my dark horse, Dallas Stars, right now. Yeah. I don't know why they have the Canucks so high. Maybe I'm coming from a pessimistic, negative background because of this past season.
29-1 they have the Canucks.
Yeah, tied with Columbus, who I think Columbus is way better suited right now.
Oh yeah, and they have such a solid young team
too. Yeah, so I look at the teams above them, Philadelphia, Toronto, and I look at them and I go, okay, maybe they're better than those teams. But I don't think they're in line with the Detroit Red Wings, Dallas Stars, who they're up against, although maybe Detroit.
Detroit, I'm not.
So maybe after that process of elimination, you did well, Bet365. And that's why I don't make the odds.
Fair enough. Coming out of free agency, give me one team that you think improved significantly and improved their Stanley Cup chances, and one team that you think regressed or didn't do enough and hurt their cup chances.
Well, we talked about this kind of before we started the show, and you were a little shocked that I said I think the Blackhawks improved.
Yeah.
I think they got Crawford, they got Keith, they got Seabrook, they got Johnson, they got Letty. That's probably the deepest four in the league, maybe. Okay. Then I think they won two cups without a second line center. They won two cups with Michael Hanzus as their second line center.
He wasn't their second line center the first time they won, but I know what you mean.
But he was their guy going forward. And they have Brad Richards at $1 million or $2 million a year?
$2 million a year.
Which I think maybe he's not the man he was in New York before Tortorella happened, or in Tampa, but I think he's a very good second line center. Look at that top six now. Taves, Sharp, Hossa, Kane, whoever you want to fill on the wing.
Saad,
or Versteeg, or Bickle, and now Brad Richards. That's formidable. Up against the Kings, maybe the Blackhawks top six beats the Kings top six, but then your bottom six is where they still struggle. But the Blackhawks have always been good at finding those third and fourth line centers. So I'll say the Blackhawks improved, if not just because Brad Richards. In terms of overall team, I got to see Anaheim adding Ryan Kessler was huge.
Yeah.
In order to keep up with the Kings and the Sharks in California. Mm-hmm. California.
Adding Danny Heatley would be hacking darts on the in the press box or whatever. Oh, 50-07. That was an interesting move.
Have you seen the YouTube video of Danny fucking Heatley?
I haven't seen that. He talks about how he's an all-star. That's where that Twitter account comes from. Yeah. That legendary Twitter account.
It's so good. I think in regression, I would say Pittsburgh.
Pitt.
What the hell? James Neal. I don't get it. Team already struggles with scoring. They traded away one of their best scorers. But they added Christian Ehrhoff on D, which was huge. How about being Christian Ehrhoff? My God, the guy's making bank.
Oh, he is. He really is.
Not PK Subban bank. Holy shit. But, I think Pittsburgh regressed overall. I think Colorado regressed. We'll talk about Colorado regression in a second. What about you? What do you think?
Okay, so my most and the West is this is not the West is an embarrassment of riches. I mean, look at the West, and it's just filthy dirty. I want to talk a bit about the East because my most improved team in the entire league, I think, is probably the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, I think that if you count the fact that Jonathan Drouin is coming, they re-signed Ryan Callahan to a respectable deal. They got Jason Garrison and Anton Stralman coming in on D. They re-signed Ben Bishop to a respectable deal. Stammer's going to be healthy. Andre Palat and Tyler Johnson are both Calder candidates last year. I actually have the Tampa Bay Lightning as my favorite in the Eastern Conference this year, going into like the whole conference ahead of the Pens and the Bruins. I think that they're...
I think they could be better than the Pens, definitely. Interesting to see what the new coach and GM do, but I don't know if they beat the Bruins quite yet, so that's interesting.
Another team that I really like that I think has solidly improved is the St. Louis Blues. I mean, it's interesting because with the Blues, I mean... In goal, they let Miller go, and they're comfortable going with Brian Elliott and Jake Allen as their duo in goal, which is on paper not the best idea, but I think, you know, conceivably could work for them. And also they lost Vladimir Sobotka, which he was a key player in their bottom six, but they added Paul Stastny, who I think was probably the best player in the free agent pool, and they added him. I mean, you look at their top six, and you were talking about a strong top six in Chicago, and that's... That's totally fair. I can appreciate that. But I look at the top six this. Paul Stastny, Alex Steen, David Backes, TJ Oshie, Jaden Schwartz, and Tarasenko. And I think that's, you know, just as good, man. And I mean, they lost Sobotka. They lost Ryan Miller. That's fair. But they added Stastny. They added this Lettera guy who was the best European free agent on the market. Mm-hmm. And they got Carl Gunnarsson, who I think is going to be a solid addition for them. They still have such a strong D. So I think St. Louis improved a lot. In terms of regression, it's an easy one for me. I think the San Jose Sharks regressed because they didn't do anything. I mean, they said that they were going to...
They added John Scott.
I know. They added everyone's favorite. Whoisjohnscott.com.
Who is John Scott?
Yeah. They had one of the biggest collapses in NHL history. And then Doug Wilson comes out and says that, you know, changes are going to happen. You know, we're a team that's looking towards the future now. Well... They do literally nothing. They move Brent Burns to defense. Like, I'm not joking when I say they do nothing. They re-signed Alex Stalock. They're still going to come next year with the exact same top six, provided Hurdle's healthy, which it looks like he'll be.
Yeah.
I mean, what has this team done to show that it can be any better than they were last year when they got shit on by the Kings in four straight games and they were an embarrassment again?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think they're... They're a powerhouse. They're almost in the same boat as the Canucks. Do you think the Canucks got better, or do you think they got worse? They bring in Bonino. They bring in Vertanen.
Vertanen won't play, though. Verbata, no. You mean?
Verbata. But, I mean, at the draft, they added Vertanen. They added McCann. They bring in Miller. And then out goes Kessler, Garrison. And who else did they trade for Bonino?
Just Kessler. It's Kessler for Bonino, Spezza.
Spezza was a good piece.
I'm of the opinion the Canucks got better. I mean, clearly in my mind, and I know I wasn't in North America last year, so I wasn't reading the articles and stuff, but with all the stuff that's come out after the fact, clearly to me it looks like the problem is John Tortorella. And I think that if you could bring in some new blood, and they've improved their forward depth. Their bottom six looks a lot better than it did last year. I mean... They brought in a guy like Lyndon Vay, who I think could be impressive. Derek Dorsett, who's going to throw the body around. I do think that that I'm going to say that they're going to do better. I think they're going to fight for a playoff spot in that PAC division, one of the wild card spots. They'll be fighting with like the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars for a wild card spot. I think they could sneak in because I think Miller is still a good goalie. And I think that Bonino for Kessler, I think it's kind of a saw-off. I think that Bonino's a good player. And I think that the Sedins will be better players. So I think that stuff can't go as wrong for Vancouver as it did last year. And I think that as a result, they'll be a better team and they'll be a competitive team because they still have on paper a respectable roster. And I know they need more youth in their lineup. Obviously they do. And obviously that's going to come within the next 2 or 3 years when Horvat and Vertanen and McCann and Shinkarik and these guys are on the team. But I think that they have a good enough roster to be competitive this year.
Yeah. This is what I was talking about when I said we'll talk Colorado regression.
Yeah.
Convince me the Canucks are going to make the playoffs because I don't think they will.
That's fair.
Because the top four, like locks, LA, Chicago, Anaheim, St. Louis, call them locks for the playoffs. Okay. I don't think San Jose has regressed enough that they'll miss the playoffs. Okay. Same with Colorado. I don't think they've regressed enough, although they have regressed. That leaves two spots. Dallas will definitely take one. They added Spezza, and that team was already very good.
And Alex Hemsky.
And Minnesota added Thomas Vanek.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's the top eight teams all got better, right? I mean, that's the way that people are looking at it right now, is that the top eight teams all got better. But you talked about one team that I think is going to regress, and I don't care if they added Thomas Anik. I think the Minnesota Wild are going to regress.
Yeah,
I think that I look in goal for them, and unfortunately, Josh Harding can't be counted upon to be healthy. I don't think going into next year with his MS. What does he have? MS?
Yeah.
MS, yeah. Unfortunately, he can't be counted upon to be healthy. Nicholas Backstrom is old and bad now. Darcy Kemper kind of stepped up for them last year and was respectable in the playoffs, but he's an unproven commodity. I look at Minnesota's roster and I see it being top heavy. I see that a heavy reliance on Parise, Koivu, Vanek, and then Ryan Suter on defense. The rest of their defense, I know it served them well last year, I guess, but
yeah.
You really have to sell me on the thought about Minnesota, because they squeaked into the playoffs last year. Remember, they barely made it. Yeah, they barely made it.
Well, they made it. They beat Dallas by 7 points, but
yeah, that's true actually, and that was with a charge at the end of the year. But
yeah,
they
LA was the sixth seed. Can you imagine that?
I know, right?
That's unbelievable.
It really is.
A full 16 points behind Anaheim. Anyway, sorry.
Maybe I'm not making a compelling enough argument, but I just have a feeling that Minnesota is going to regress. I don't see Dallas regressing.
No.
I see the Sharks regressing, and I see the rest of the teams at the top, including Colorado, who you don't like, as being improved.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I'm so excited. I don't know why this offseason is hitting me so hard. Maybe it's because... Yeah. Sorry, it sounds like there's a truck driving through my room. I don't know why it's this offseason. Maybe it's because... I'm like away from distractions and stuff, but yeah. Yeah, I'm stoked for this year. It's going to be great.
And Paul, I quickly wanted to avail people of our contest here. We're actually going to have a contest because it's fun. Paul and I are part of an excellent, outstanding group of dudes who do a Yahoo Sports fantasy hockey pool every year. And we're looking for one more guy or girl to fill the final spot. So what we've kind of decided to do is we're going to offer you folks the chance to be in on our outstanding, spectacular hockey pool. All you need to do is tweet at us. Tweet at Dan the Max, DanTheMacs, or Paul, tweet at you.
Yes.
Oh, and you are?
Paul Almeida, 22.
Paul Almeida, 22. Exactly. It's on the website when we link it. Or hashtag DP Sportscast in one of your tweets or something like that.
Morgan Freeman cast.
Yeah, exactly. The Morgan Freeman cast. Just give us a shout out on Twitter of some kind and we'll throw you into a little pot to have you entered to get that last spot in our hockey pool, which trust me.
I'm still choked. I came in third and I lost my second by 4 points and I sat Jamie Benn on the night he got 7 points in fantasy hockey.
It's just a Greek tragedy, Paul. It's a Greek tragedy.
What can you do?
Tweet at us. Be in our pool.
Yes. So we're at 43 minutes. Do you want to gloat and brag for a second about your AL East prediction?
Look, I told people when they were asking, they're like, oh, the Blue Jays. You know, okay, this is going to be really quick. We're not going to talk about baseball right now because we don't have time. We'll talk about it next week. Paul, you asked me, you're like, the Blue Jays, can they win? Or will the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Rays, you know, will they catch up? Or will they give them a chance? I said, no, Paul. I said, I don't know. I'll have to wait until after the All-Star break to give you a definitive answer. But if there's one team I like to challenge the Blue Jays in the AL East, who is it, Paul? I'm pretty sure I said the Baltimore Orioles.
Man.
I'm pretty sure
I did.
And sure enough, it's the Orioles and the Blue Jays with an outside chance right now. The Yankees aren't that far behind.
No.
But it's the Orioles and it's the Blue Jays. And, you know, I still think that the Orioles are the team that to beat in the East. I think that the Jays can lock up that number 5 wild card spot and then get trounced by the Angels in the playoff. I think that the Orioles are good enough to win that division, and I think that the Jays are not going to catch them.
They're the favorites, 2.1, Jays at 2.8 to win the division. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do some buzzer beater.
World famous buzzer beater. Okay.
That was our intro.
For those of you who are new to this podcast, and really I can't imagine there are many of you, we're just going to ask each other 5 fun, casual questions that require really brief and quick, rapid-fire answers.
Yeah, and if you don't do this in the correct amount of time, you have to ask all of your questions to me in the voice of Morgan Freeman.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yes. Here we go.
Okay.
Cue the cool music.
Okay. Yeah. I envision Price is Right music when this comes
out. Oh, no. I do like Transformers and action movies. Anyways. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Number one. Do the Canucks make the playoffs?
Yes.
Number two. Convince me that there's a better pitching staff than the Detroit Tigers right now.
No, I don't want to because there's not. Well, I mean, the Athletics have a good one, and that's with their ace injured. But no, the Tigers are the best.
Number three, do you care about the CFL? And if you say you do, tell me who the best team in the West is right now.
Not really, but the Calgary Stampeders.
No, it's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Okay.
Number four.
I believe you.
Number four, do you pay attention to any tennis tournaments other than the majors?
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you watch SportsCenter when there's no hockey, basketball, and football highlights on?
You know, I tuned in the first night I got back to Canada because it's something I missed, and I think they were showing highlights. Or no, I think that it wasn't SportsCenter. I think it was like strongman competition. So I was like, oh God, no.
No. Yeah. Brian Mudrick, Kate Bernays, where are you?
Oh, Brian Mudrick.
All right, so that was five.
All right, good. All right, my turn.
We'll go back to 10 when we get more sports.
Yeah, my turn. Who will win the NL West, the Dodgers or the Giants?
Well, I'll say the Dodgers.
Okay, good boy. Number two, as a Canucks fan, what player are you most intrigued by entering the season?
Radim Verbata.
Verbata, okay.
He's apparently supposed to play with the Sedins, which is, if he does, that'll be interesting. So we'll see.
Okay. Bigger impact in Cleveland this year, LeBron, Wiggins, or Johnny Manziel.
Okay, remember back when I said there was a BuzzFeed question. I said Cleveland is the worst sports town. Will it be considered a sports town if they get LeBron and Johnny Manziel and the first pick in the draft? And you're like, no. Or I think our guest said no or something. Yeah. They are now the sports city to watch. Are they not?
You're completely right.
Three biggest stars. Well, not three biggest, but Andrew Wiggins up there now. Who will have more of an impact? Is that what you said?
Yeah, who will have more of an impact? Yeah,
LeBron will have more of an impact because he's going to be the leader of the team. Johnny Manziel will be the bigger story because he's getting first team reps at practice.
Oh, that's impressive. All right, number four, our two Canadians, Eugenie or Milos, who you hate, who wins a major first?
Eugenie.
Okay. And number five, quick, Paul, plug a show you're in or something you're doing like I did at the start of the podcast.
Well, I will be in Vancouver later this year. Possibly doing a show that I can't really announce right now.
Okay.
So that'll just have to wait until I'm allowed to release details.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yes, sir. That's our buzzer beater and music.
We need
the music when things go badly. The wah 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 wah.
Yeah, we definitely need some. We need sound effects. We need a sound engineer. Maybe that's what we should do the contest for. we can Morgan Freemanify our voices.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Well, that's podcast number. Oh, what number are we on?
13, I think.
Sure. Let's say 13.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
Oh, it feels great, doesn't it? I mean, all you folks out there in Radio Land, I know you missed our smooth, silky voices.
We will tweet this out, and we will get it out, and then we'll be back next week. Same time.
Same bat time, same bat place. And remember, people, when you're feeling down, if you're ever in doubt, just imagine someone speaking to you in the voice of Morgan Freeman.
While the DP happens.
While the DP happens. Andy Dufresne.
Peace out.
See ya.